Let's turn our attention to the Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day number three. Well, we're still in the section on misery, which we talked about last time as being homeless or being wanderers from our home, right? We're homesick because we're outside the presence of God. And so we're learning more and more, why are we outside the presence of God, and where can we come back to the presence of God through the gospel. So Lord's Day 3 harps on that very clearly. So let's respond to the questions. Did God create man thus wicked and perverse? No, but God created man good after His own image, in righteousness and true holiness, that he might rightly know God, his Creator, heartily love Him, and live with Him in eternal blessedness, to praise and glorify Him. From where then does this depraved nature of man come? From the fall, disobedience of our first parents, Adam and Eve in paradise, whereby our nature became so corrupt that we are all conceived and born in sin. But are we so depraved that we are completely incapable of any good and prone to all evil? Yes, unless we are born again by the Spirit of God. Since of God, the world and even our own nature will tell us that man is basically good. If the person is raised right and has the right resources, under the right circumstances, they can be a good, upstanding citizen. In other words, we only do bad things because we learn to do bad things. We are victims of our circumstances. Now, I don't think anyone denies that our environment and circumstances can play a role in someone's life. However, the fact is that we learn how to... If we say that we learn how to sin, that places man as the victim. And if our problem is out there and everybody else and everything else, then the solution is going to be focused on everything out there and everything else and everybody else. Well, with a little more money, or by taking the right medications, or having the right resources, you can be on the right track to be a good person. But the one thing that the society cannot remove is the mirror. You got to deal with yourself. You got to look at yourself in the mirror of your heart and your conscience. And it's easy to convince everybody else how good you are. You can convince even yourself how good you are. But no matter how good you think yourself to be, you will at some point have to come to grips with your own brokenness. I have the privilege of serving as a volunteer at CareNet, Women's Resource Center. And I have the privilege of being able to minister the gospel to some of these men, these fathers who are awaiting a confirmation of their pregnancy. Maybe it's their fiance, maybe it's their wife, or whatever the situation may be. But I have an opportunity to sit down with them and talk to them how they're processing through this new pregnancy. And some of these young men, a lot of them are young men, are nervous, which is understandable. You know, big responsibilities up ahead. They're thinking about job security. They're thinking about, you know, what kind of father they're going to be. And some of them are excited. You know, some of them are excited to be a father figure, and they have that desire to be a good father. And I always encourage them, saying that their drive to be a good father, that's a God-given desire. That's God's design for you as a man to want to provide and protect for your family. God's design is in you to want to be married to a companion, to raise a home together. All those things are good things. You were created with those desires. But what you need to realize, as I often tell them, that, or something along this, something to this effect, that what they need to realize is that being a father is much more than just bringing home a paycheck or being Superman to your children. You're going to have to come to grips with your weaknesses, all your selfish nature, your lack of patience. You're going to have to watch your kids grow up, and it's going to be like looking at a mirror. their sin is going to look a lot like yours because they got it from you. How are you going to deal with your own sin? How are you going to deal with their sin? Because they're going to look to you for help. How are you going to guide them? How do you guide yourself? And it's only in the Bible that we're going to hear the truth that we are born with a deeply sinful nature. That our environment doesn't determine whether or not we're sinful. Our environment only reveals or shows how we're going to sin. The disease of sin is already in our bloodstream from day one out of the womb. The reason why we are born with a sinful nature is because of the fall of our first parents. Adam, who represented all of mankind, made that choice that we would all make. If we had the opportunity to obey or rebel against God's command, we would all choose to obey. You can hear the objection in the background. Well, how do you know that? If I was there in the garden, I would have done things differently. Well, no, you wouldn't, because Adam was the best of us. He was the best of us, and he still fell. God made Adam righteous and holy without sin. God created Adam to be in perfect fellowship with Him. He had every perfect circumstance imaginable in the garden. And Adam did enjoy that fellowship with God, but he willfully forfeited that fellowship because he wanted to be like God. And when he rebelled, we all rebelled. And so we are all born in sin and having inherited that disease of sin in our bloodstream, in our DNA, in our spiritual nature. Our heart is deceitfully wicked, the scriptures say, comforting us with lies that we tell ourselves over and over again. And like they say, you tell yourself a lie enough times, you start to believe that it's true. Our mind is so controlled by our love for self. Our will and desires are shackled to our sinful nature. The man says, well, that's not fair. Well, God doesn't make you sin. You sin all on your own. You're not sinning, kicking, and screaming. You gladly choose to rebel against God. Even when man does a civil good, like saving a cat out of a tree or donate money to charity, all of our deeds, if we are not born again, are not done out of faith or desire to glorify God. It's not done out of a love for God, but ultimately a love for ourselves. And there's no way to fix this. We can't fix ourselves. We can't do enough good deeds because God's standards, by God's standards, those good deeds that we deem them to be are not good. Good to you, to your standards, but not to God's. We are born lost and corrupt. Our only hope is to be born again. Born again to a living hope. Born again to an incorruptible hope. A hope that does not fade. A hope that can only be found in the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And next time we'll pick it up from there. Amen? Amen.